So we're exploring creation and creativity. For our last session, we are going to look at da'at and chokhmah, knowledge and wisdom, as sources of creation and creativity. And just to remind us of the flow of this class, we began with that kind of lengthy comment of Nachmanides about the Torah, the letters of the Torah, that are kind of the source of all creation and even map onto our own bodies that sort of live, and those letters of the Torah end up living in our mouths. Our own words kind of speak those words of Torah as well. And you had the session on prayer, the generativity of a prayer practice. And then we took a journey into the role of words in creating or destroying our worlds. And finally, last week, we looked at actions of chesed as not only kind of nice things to do, but really creative generators, participating in the divine work of creating our world. And now we're going to look at da'at, wisdom and understanding. And I'll just share the melody, the song that we were listening to when you've been coming in to these past three sessions, is a melody by Rabbi Deborah Sachs Mintz called Mekom Bina, the place of understanding, that's based on a verse from the book of Job, Iyov. And that is kind of a nice kavana for this last session we're going to do, looking at the creative power of knowledge and wisdom. So I'm going to move into introducing this text. We're going to look at another text from the Pachad Yitzchak, Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, which we started looking at last week, 20th century scholar. And this is actually the second essay. Last week we looked at his essay that was all about chesed as a foundation of the creation of our world. And we ended off last week saying that the only way to know God is through our acts of chesed, and that is perhaps us stepping into creating the world with God, or maybe with a God who's a little bit far away. What we're going to look at now is the second essay, where he takes up chesed and wisdom and how they relate to each other as a generative force. Okay, you'll see what I mean. It will start off a little bit abstract, but then I think be a powerful message both to end this class and hopefully to take with you. I wanted to start off actually with the first of the request blessings in the weekday Amida that is recited three times a day, and to actually look at the version of that blessing for Saturday night, right, Motzei Shabbat, when we are really just starting the new week. So there we have, Atah chonen la'adam da'at, you favor humanity with perception or knowledge. You teach humankind understanding. And that's part of the regular blessing here. And then if you jump down to the bottom of the bold, right, the blessing generally ends, Chonenu me'itecha de'a bina v'haskel, grant us, graciously grant us knowledge, understanding, and intellect from you, me'itecha. And the final closing blessing, God who grants, perhaps graciously grants, da'at, perception or knowledge. Now, it is in this blessing that the rabbis choose to put the additional section on Saturday night that is called the Havdalah, right? The Havdalah that is not the one recited over the cup of wine with spices and candles that everybody knows a little better, but just the liturgical Havdalah marking the end of Shabbat and the beginning of the week. They insert that into this blessing, and I'll just read that addition briefly. You have favored us with the ability to know your Torah, taught us to fulfill the statutes of your will. You made a distinction, God, between sacred and unhallowed, between light and darkness, Israel and the peoples, the seventh day and the six work days. Right, so there we have, it seems like it's almost an expansion on the very unspecified language in the blessing. Usually we just talk very vaguely about knowledge and understanding. And here we're talking about much more specific kind of knowledge and understanding, knowledge of Torah, knowledge of chukei ritzonecha, God's laws. Some of the versions here, you have the language of mitzvot. And then also this other kind of knowledge that is about distinguishing between sacred and profane. And then we have this part that refers to sin. Our Father, our King, commence for us the days that approach us in peace, devoid of all sin, cleansed of all iniquity, devoted to the fear of you. And then that closing blessing for God who grants knowledge and understanding. And I always find it like, I don't know, feels like a little bit of a downer. Like the first prayer you say coming out of Shabbat is like, oh God, please make sure I don't sin this week. Maybe it's extremely realistic. But what I want to kind of get into here is the way that this blessing about knowledge, right, da'at, is number one, how we mark the beginning of the week. And you have when the Gemara talks about this blessing and where to put Havdalah and some of Rashi's comments on that part of the Talmud, we see here that this is kind of like bringing us back to the creation of the world, or to the creation of light and darkness. And even though it doesn't 100% work in terms of the where we are in the moment of the 6 days of creation, we might say that some of the language here, especially that reference to sin, conjures up the scene of Adam and Eve in Gan Eden and taking from the Eitz Hadaat, right? They gain knowledge by committing a sin, by transgressing God's only commandment at the time, which is don't take from those two trees. So there's sort of a loaded moment here. And actually, if you kind of think about Havdalah and this passage and the fire of Havdalah, you might even think of this as a kind of version of Prometheus stealing the fire, right? That kind of mythology where there's this kind of transgressive enabling of human creativity, right? If the fire kind of represents the power to create as well. And it's a very loaded moment, right? I think when you don't look at it in the context of the Saturday night edition, this can feel kind of neutral, right? It's like, okay, great. We need knowledge. We need understanding. But in this kind of passage, we see how loaded da'at is, how loaded our access to knowledge is. Number one, it's something that seems like it can be the thing that sort of sets us into the creative mode that the week is now beginning, right? We're going to start our weekday Amida of this new week that is no longer Shabbat, a week of creation, of our own creation. That is all going to get off the ground. It sort of launches with our access to da'at, to knowledge. And yet, this blessing also contains some amount of fear or anxiety about sin, and maybe about how our desire for knowledge can lead us to sin, right? And certainly if there's this resonance with the Adam and Eve story, we know that there's a kind of transgressive desire around their access to knowledge. Okay, so the question becomes, how can we notice and appreciate and acknowledge the power of da'at, of our ability to have capacity to understand, or capacity of intellect? How can we acknowledge that creative power there and also be aware of the dangers, right? The possibility for sin. Okay, I'm going to pause there, but that's going to be our introduction to this piece by the Pachad Yitzchak.
Yeah, I was just wondering, maybe beyond the scope of the discussion, but is there any information or insight in terms of how that liturgy developed specifically with respect to the issue of knowledge and why it ended up in that prayer service?
Okay, so I will refer you to my teacher and colleague, Rabbi Eli Confer, who has done major, major work on all of the blessings of the Amidah. And he, I believe if you go to our website, hadar.org, and you go to the Torah library, you can actually type in Chonen Hada'at, that phrase in Hebrew, or probably his name and the word knowledge or understanding will get you there. He has a discussion of what we know about how this blessing emerged. And one of the things he points out, which I actually did also want to emphasize here, is it's a really ironic blessing. Right? Because it says, blessed are you, God, who graciously gives knowledge. And yet, right, again, when you see it in its fuller form with this reference to sin, and you think of Adam and Chava, they weren't graciously given da'at. It seems like they had to transgressively, proactively steal that, so to speak. They had to steal knowledge. So it's not a flat blessing at all. There's a lot of tension in this blessing. And what I actually want to explore through looking at this piece from Rav Yitzchak Huttner is a dynamic around, like, well, is there some difference between kind of having boundaries around our knowledge versus the posture of graciously sharing knowledge that we can learn from? And I think this language of this blessing invites us to ask that question. So, in all transparency, it is my decision to put the piece we're going to look at in the Parchat Yitzchak into conversation with that blessing. The real explicit catalyst for the essay we're going to look at here is a verse in the book of Proverbs. Pi ha-patra v'chochma v'torat chesed al lishona. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and a teaching of kindness, Torat chesed, is on her tongue. Okay, that's what we're going to look at, and we're really just going to look at this phrase, Torat chesed, a teaching of kindness, and try to understand how that works, and you'll see how this comes back to the question of sharing knowledge, chonen hadad, graciously giving knowledge. So this is what he says on this piece. First, he quotes a passage in the Talmud. V'chi yesh Torah shel chesed v'torah she'ina shel chesed. Is there such a thing as Torah of kindness and Torah that is not of kindness? Like, what does it mean to say a Torah of kindness is on her tongue? That suggests that something unique. And maybe there's also such a thing as a Torah that is not of kindness. And the Talmud here doesn't understand how that could be, right? How could there be a Torah of kindness and a Torah that's not of kindness? It seems like the obvious assumption here in the Talmud is that Torah and kindness are totally paired together. They're intertwined. You can't have Torah that is not accompanied by kindness. So how does it understand this phrase? Ela Torah lelamda zohi Torah shel chesed. Torah that you're going to teach, that is Torah shel chesed. Shelo lelamda zohi Torah she'ina shel chesed. If you're not going to teach it, you're not going to share it with anybody else, that is Torah that is not a Torah of chesed, of kindness. And he says there's like a great insight here that when you share Torah with students, hashpa'at Torah l'talmidim, the sort of overflow, he's dropping on Kabbalistic language, as we saw last week, the overflow of Torah to one's students, that is not something that is about kind of an act of Torah, maybe an intellectual activity, alongside an act of kindness. Two separate things that happen to be joined together, kishehin mechubarin. Rather, the very essence of the words of Torah, etzem hadivrei Torah, they are kind of influenced or affected by this chesed. Or they are the words of Torah that are given over by virtue of being given over. They kind of receive a hue of chesed. Gevena chesed is his language. Their whole quality changes, and they become Torah chesed Torah. Okay? And the word chesed here is actually functioning as a sort of adjective, Torah leguf hachefza de Torah. It's an adjective describing the nature of that Torah that is shared. Okay, so that is his starting off point. Torah chesed is Torah that is shared. We're going to jump now to his part B. So now he's jumping to Avraham. Remember, Avraham is our Baal Chesed, but he's the one who enacted Chesed most fully. It says, the promise of protection to our ancestor Avraham was given to him in this statement. God says, Anochi magen lach, I am protecting you. Schercha harbe me'od, your reward is exceedingly great. He says, there's a reading of this by the Maharal of Prague. He says, since Avraham's attribute is Chesed, and the reward of chesed doers is that they reap the dividends in this world for free, while the principle remains for the world to come. Okay, it's a little cryptic, right? But if you go to our daily davening, we cite a Mishnah that says, Elo ha-divarim she'en lahem shi'or. There are things that have kind of no fixed amount, and one of them is chesed, right? Chesed, you can do, need to do, can constantly. There's no boundaries on doing it. And the teachings that recite go on further to say that you get there perot, you sort of reap the basic dividends for your acts of chesed while you are in this world, but actually the principal reward, keren, the main reward for doing acts of chesed, that remains for the world to come. You don't even get to experience the main reward for doing acts of chesed here. All you get is the taste, is the dividends. So the point from this is, one who clings to this attribute of chesed has both principle and dividends, right? This gets back to what we were talking about last week, right? There's some kind of generative quality around engaging in acts of chesed. There's not just sort of a principal amount, but they create dividends. Okay, that's a bit abstract, but then you'll see where he takes us. It says, deep meditation on the path of the Maharal sets us in the ray of its light. This is his poetic language. For the inner characteristic of the attribute of chesed in its purest form is overflowing goodness, extra contribution to reality without any loss of the source that overflows. You want to understand what chesed is? Chesed is this generative capacity that's really a source of creation and creativity. Remember last week we saw chesed is the only thing that could move you from ayin to yesh, from nothing to something. So here also chesed represents the capacity to overflow without lessening the source itself. And here he says, what we see in all matters in the world is that when one bestows upon others from your own possessions, you want to give a gift to somebody else. The act of bestowing causes a loss to the giver. There's some material loss. He says that's because chesed is acting in combination with things of the material world. So you don't see chesed in its purest state, which is the form of creation that increases, it creates more without any loss. So here's our punchline. Therefore, when the attribute of chesed joins up with chokhmah, right, with wisdom or understanding, the essential characteristic of the power of chesed is revealed in this. It isn't just that giving and overflowing wisdom to others doesn't cause a loss in the one who gives, right? If somebody shares something they know, that doesn't create a loss for them, unlike any material gift where they have now lost something. Says, so not only is that true that there's no loss, but just the opposite, the overflow brings a blessing and expansion in one's own wisdom. And I'll jump up to the Hebrew here. Mevi bracha v'tosefet b'chochma shelo. Mevi bracha v'tosefet b'chochma shelo. So the source itself actually grows by giving. Okay, this is our creativity creation. Right, the sharing of wisdom actually is a totally creative process. It creates more than there was initially. Okay, so that is Torah Chesed, right? And I'll just give you the last parts of this, right? Therefore, he says, Torah in order to teach, this is Torah Chesed. As explained above, we don't call it Torah and Chesed. It's not like there's some intellectual piece of wisdom and then it's like nice that you're sharing it with other people, but rather the very character of this Torah changes and it acquires an escorting or accompanying word. It is called Torah Chesed. It is a Chesed kind of Torah, which for him means it's a generative Torah. That is because in this kind of Torah, the power of creation that is in the attribute of Chesed is revealed. That's where you see manifested the creative, generative power of Chesed. And then there are new Torah values, Erkei Torah Chadashim, that continue to be created in the spring that overflows, specifically by way of its giving over and overflowing. Doing good and chesed with the other, that is what it means. She opens her mouth with wisdom, like that posture of opening in order to share, and Torah chesed is on her tongue, a generative Torah then emerges, right? This is how wisdom and understanding increase. So I'll just give you a little bit of the Hebrew here. Mikale koach hayitzira asher b'midat hachesed, erkei Torah chadashim holchim v'notzrim, b'ma'ayan hamashpia. Right? There's a creative process for the source that is the one giving over. It's not only losing, it's actually creating something new. Okay, so that is this teaching I wanted to leave you with on da'at or chokhmah as kind of vehicles for creation, creativity, not just in kind of the substance of an idea that's shared, but there's this kind of larger generative capacity through taking up that posture of sharing knowledge and understanding.
Very quick. I'll just say that I'm fascinated that in the word da'at, there's hidden the word edat, the same exact letters, which means community of. So it's like hinting that we need to connect knowledge with the community and not just keep it to ourselves.
Mm, thank you. Very beautiful. I'm lifting up here Kay's comment. One of my teachers taught that the tree was placed as a glittering gift with the intention that Adam and Chava would not resist the need to attain knowledge at any cost. Beautiful. Okay, so you would sort of, there would be exposed to us how much they quest after da'at by their even being willing to violate God's instruction in order to access it. Fascinating. I would say, like, minimally, we might be kind of retelling that story of Adam and Chava in this blessing of the Amida and kind of calling God into a posture of giving, graciously giving us knowledge, even though actually it often feels like something that is very hard for us to access. I will leave you with that as our last kind of substantive exploration of creation and creativity to appreciate our capacity for knowledge, not just as part of that initial creation of the world or the initial creation of our own being, but really as an ongoing process of recreating ourselves, not really only or even primarily by trying individually to access knowledge, but really by sharing knowledge with others. That is how we can most access our creative selves and potential.